My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning, football. Just started up on NFL Network. We're getting live programming now on ESPN. That means we're probably going to hear from insiders. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, Mike Garofalo, Mike Reese. So we should have some new stuff here on Aiyuk anytime now. And once we do, we'll keep you up to date right here on the Fan Morning Show. But it's not just all Aiyuk in Steelers country. There was a lot that happened at yesterday's practice, and the Steelers released a depth chart. And joining us now to get into all of it is our good pal, our Steelers insider, Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette, brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com, and he's on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Oh, we are excellent. I guess we'll just get the Aiyuk thing out of the way here. Are you hearing anything different than what's reported? Are you hearing that the Steelers are a front runner for Aiyuk? What are you hearing on this right now?
Yeah, I mean, guys, I think right now it's a 50-50 shot that they get them. When I got home from camp last night, I saw Schefter tweeted something about the Patriots dropping out. So if that's true, you know, you're down to the Steelers and the Browns. And, you know, I suppose the 49ers can say, oh, we'll hang on to them. But it doesn't seem like that relationship is really good right now, that avenue would be open. So, you know, we all know the Steelers haven't met the 49ers asking price just yet. 49ers haven't come down. So I think that's what we're going through right now. And, you know, we'll see if this is resolved by the end of the week or early next week.
Ray, what do you think the compensation will be for the Steelers in compensation or even trades, draft picks? What do you think is a reasonable package for the Steelers to send that you'd be like, okay, this makes sense?
Okay, so I mean, just the hypothetical. Let's say a second round pick, and because the Steelers have a surplus of offensive linemen, and I don't want to wildly speculate, but James Daniels is in the same situation that Brandon Aiyuk is in. He's going into the last year of his contract. So if you go player for player there and you throw in a second-round pick, is that enough to get it done? I don't know. If they don't need James Daniels or they don't want an offensive lineman, there's really no other area where the Steelers have a surplus of talent. You know, I don't think the Steelers are going to trade George Pickens. I don't know that another receiver would be attractive to them. And then if you want more draft capital, maybe it's a second, and then maybe it's a third. You know, the one good thing for the Steelers is Dan Moore, they're not going to re-sign him. James Daniels, they're not going to re-sign him. They will be set up to have a few comp picks next year and likely in the middle round. So if you do have to give up another draft pick, I suppose it won't be the end of the world.
Why do you think, and we'll get to what's going on in camp in a minute here, Ray, but what do you think sets the Steelers apart in Brandon Aiyuk's mind from the Browns, a team that went to the playoffs last year?
Well, I'm, you know, people around here complain all the time about the postseason record and Mike Tomlin, and he should be on the hot seat. But it's situations just like these where guys want to play for Mike Tomlin. And I don't think you can deny that. I think there are a lot of players like Brandon Ayuk out there who are intrigued about the possibility of playing for Mike. And I think beyond that, they're a team that's been around the playoffs, on the fringe of the playoffs, you know, number seven seed. I think if you're Brandon Ayuk and you think you're the type of player that you think you are, then, hey, maybe I could be the guy to get them over the top. And listen, guys, the Steelers do have some question marks on their roster, but if they add Brandon Ayuk, to me, they go from a fringe playoff team to a team that could be in the mix for an AFC North championship. I think a guy like Ayuk can make that much of a difference.
How do you think George Pickens would handle this? I know we've talked about this before, but his mindset, moving forward, how do you think that he would handle if Brandon Ayuk was brought in to be, honestly, the number one wide receiver?
Probably not great, but if you're Omar Khan, I don't think you could worry about that. I think, you know, hopefully the coaches in that building and Omar can kind of smooth it over and, you know, get the most out of George Pickens, you know, for this year and likely next year. But I think you guys probably know as well as I do, if they sign Brandon Ayuk and they're paying him, you know, $25, $27 million a year, George Pickens isn't going to get a second contract for the Steelers. So they would have to deal with that headache if it becomes a headache, or just hope that, you know, George realizes that he still has to play really well if he wants to make money somewhere else. So, that's probably not going to be a great scenario, but like I said, I don't think Omar can worry about that.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here, our Steelers insider on the Fan Morning Show, and the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. So you're there yesterday, Ray. What was the big story, the big takeaway from Steelers camp?
Well, I think two. I think Troy Faiutanu working with the ones at right tackle, Broderick Jones and Dan Moore splitting time at left tackle. That wasn't reflected in the depth chart that Mike released yesterday, but I think 2 weeks into camp, I think that's a good sign that, you know, we might see some movement there within the next couple of weeks. And then the other one, of course, Russ Wilson, doing more than he's ever done, took more snaps in team periods than he has since that calf injury. So he's not going to play Friday night, obviously, but I think the expectation is if all goes well, maybe he can ramp it up for that Bills game next week and get out there in that second preseason game.
Of three of the newcomers, not the draft picks, let's say Deshaun Elliott, let's say Dante Jackson and Van Jefferson, who's had a better camp out of those three?
Dante Jackson showed up early. He hasn't been as noticeable the second week, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, Elliott's been good, but I think Van Jefferson has probably had the best camp of all those three. And listen, if he's your number two, maybe Arthur Smith can be a magician and make that work. But if he's your number three, I think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in that scenario, then, the Steelers receiving core would be much more well-rounded. So, you know, I have a lot of faith in Arthur Smith that he can make it work with any of the receivers who are in that room. But, I think Van Jefferson has had a good camp, and, you know, we'll see if he can keep it going Friday night and then next week against the Bills too.
You mentioned that what they did with the offensive line yesterday was not reflected in the depth chart. Was there anything newsworthy from the depth chart, anything that caught you by surprise, right?
Not really. Everything that was on there is pretty much what's transpired during camp. You know, we knew it was going to be the case, but Beanie Bishop, being the starting slot, I think is significant. It's clear they're going to give him a shot. In other years, Adam, you know, maybe they would put a slash and put another name next to him if they weren't sure about a guy. I think Beanie's played well. He's got to have a good run in the preseason games here to solidify his spot. But when you look at that situation, they just need a guy for half a season. So if Beanie Bishop can be that guy for the first half of the year, they're golden. If not, then they got to probably go out and address that, look at the waiver wire or potentially a trade to get a slot corner in here before the start of the season.
Ray,
thank you for your time. Next week, when we talk to you, do you think we're talking about Brandon Ayuk as a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Oh, I'll go out on a limb and I'll say yes.
All right, Ray. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Put him on the spot there at the end, but he did say earlier on in the interview he thinks it's at least 50-50 that the Steelers get Brandon Ayuk. And people might see that and go, well, we know it's the Browns and the Steelers, so yeah, it's 50-50. Well, you gotta consider the 49ers. They could up their offer to him, and there always seems to be a mystery team. So when Ray says greater than 50-50 shot, I like that.
I do too.
I like it. I think Brandon Ayuk is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Nothing official yet. I'm being told nothing, but it makes too much sense. Coming up next, we will react to some of what Ray had to say. We've got John Wehner at the bottom of the hour to talk about the all of a sudden sliding Pirates. You can chime in on the conversation on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can always text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
money for you. John Wehner going to be joining us in the next segment to talk about the Buccos, who are now suddenly right against it. A big game tonight. Yesterday was a big game. You're four games back in the wild card race. And something I did want to mention before we react to what Ray Fittipaldo said in the last segment, Doran, is that Brian De La Cruz as a pirate. I did the pony thing again.
Jeez.
What the hell's going on here?
Listening to him too much.
I have had a lot of downtime holding the baby because she won't nap in the crib, and so I just toss on the Odyssey app. I usually catch the end of Starkey's show, like Text in the City, and then the beginning of Pickett. So Brian De La Cruz, 3-for-22 is a pirate.
Yeah.
Oh!
Stuff.
Jeez! 136 batting average with a 273 OPS. I saw somebody on Twitter referred to him as Brian De La Oliveris.
I had a fear that that was going to happen, at least with one of the guys. Kiner Falefa has been great. He made a great play at shortstop yesterday, but I had a fear that Brian De La Cruz was going to be disappointing and everybody was going to be upset about it.
He's boom or bust and pretty much no in between, as I've heard Marlins writers describe him. And you are obviously in a bust phase right now. It could have gone either way. It sounds like there's no middle ground, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you would hope that when Brian De La Cruz starts hitting taters, that you're not too far out of it. But they're close right now. I said the other day they're in the danger zone. They really are. Milwaukee has not been good, man. Milwaukee's been bad since the All-Star break, and you've lost ground now. You're 7 games back on them and 4 games back in the wild card race, and your schedule does not ease up at all. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Would this offseason be a failure if the Steelers don't get Brandon Ayuk? Dorn and I say no, but we did say this particular thing would be a failure. You've got all the cards. Ray Fittipaldo in the last segment said he thinks it's a better than 50-50 shot that the Steelers get Ayuk. He also said if they get Ayuk, he thinks that takes them from being a team that contends for a wild card spot and punches them all the way up to a team that should legitimately contend for the AFC North. I agree with that.
I definitely agree.
When you consider how they've played the Ravens over the last few years, if you can now win an extra game with Brandon Ayuk, even one, and you give yourself a chance in the other game against the Ravens, because you generally, I mean, you've owned them. You think when both teams are good, generally you're going to get the split. If you were a 9-win team before Ayuk, and now you're a 10-win team, and they were probably a 12-win team, you're right there in that range, and you got a better shot to win.
I mean, this is just giving them the opportunity to actually win games of playing offense.
Yes.
So, like, what they did last year was just patchwork in a lot of ways, as we know. But this will legitimize you actually going out and getting aggressive and winning games by playing offense and scoring points.
Yes.
And that has not just to do with, obviously, Ayuk. It has a lot to do with Arthur Smith and, you know, just the whole, you know, production of everything, the running backs and running game and setting up the play action. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields is in there. I mean, he's going to use guys in different ways. You still got Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that he's going to be a decent portion of the offense. I really do. I'm like one of the only people that thinks that. He's not just a kick returner. So you put all that together, now you can actually win games by playing legit offense. So, yes, they have a chance.
That's how you
they would.
Don't lose to bad teams.
Yes.
Like when you want to win every game 21-20 or 20-17 or 13-9, you leave open the possibility that you're going to stub your toe against the Patriots or against the Browns and their fourth-string quarterback, or against the Indianapolis Colts with Gardner Minshew. When you're playing every game with that little margin for error, you're going to stub your toe. It's just going to happen. But if you make all those teams, those three games last year, if you've got this roster, you get out to an early lead, especially a team like New England. They don't have the will to come back. No. They're buried. They're a 3-win team. You just step on their throat, and you unleash your pass rushers. I think it would be a failure and a huge disappointment if you get Ayuk and you don't win the division. I think your roster's that good. I think they're close to having a hole-less roster, if that's probably not the best way to put it. I don't know that they're super deep in some positions. I feel good about the offensive line depth. Defensive line depth, no.
Right.
Inside backer depth, yes. Corner depth, no. But wide receiver is a big question mark right now. And it might not even be a question mark, actually. It might just not be good enough. If you add Brandon Ayuk, you add depth, and all of a sudden he's, I don't know what, the is he the third best player on your team? He might be. TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick. I think I might be going with Ayuk 3.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it from that standpoint.
I could see that discussion. I could see that discussion. I mean, if you want to throw Russ in there, I don't know what Russ we're going to get, but I would maybe make an argument for Russ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one's going to have a bigger say in what this team does, obviously, than quarterback.
Yeah.
So I could entertain that for sure.
But top 5.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think he's a better wide receiver than Highsmith is a pass rusher.
Yes.
I think he's when Cam's good and when Cam's going, he's good. When Cam's healthy, I guess I should say I'd probably put him ahead of him. So yeah, third or fourth. But top five for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Top five for sure. So whenever Steelers fans say, he's not worth the money, well, you'd be adding to the top five of your roster. And it's not your money. And it's a hole. Now, what Ray also said is that George Pickens, if the Steelers acquire Ayuk, should not expect a second contract, which we've talked about before. I don't think it's impossible, but Ray kind of said it is impossible. If you pay Brandon Ayuk $30 million. Now, what you could do is you could franchise him.
You could franchise him, yeah.
Not after this year, but after next year. So you could get 2 years of both of these guys.
Yep.
Now, he'd probably cause a holy headache if he were in Brandon Ayuk's situation. He would probably be more loud and obnoxious about it than Brandon Ayuk has even been.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem likely, I guess we'll put it, that George Pickens would get a second contract if Brandon Ayuk does come into the fold.
And I don't think that anybody should worry about that right now.
No, it's about win a playoff game, win the division, set yourself up with a chance. I think they got a chance to be a playoff team right now. I think I would probably pick them to be a playoff team right now. But I don't look at them on the short list of teams that could win the Super Bowl. With Brandon Ayuk, I think you do give yourself an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So go get it done. John Wehner up next. He's brought to us by the maintenance-free gutter solution from Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET for a free estimate. That's next. John Wehner, brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. John, good morning to you today. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
We are good. We are on Brandon Ayuk watch, and I will remind the listeners that should the Steelers pull off a trade during our show, of course, we will go wall-to-wall Brandon Ayuk. But the Pirates, they're losers last night, 6-0 to the Padres. And a strange one, John. I mean, you ever been a part of anything like that? I realize the technology today and the way they drain the fields is different, but can you remember a start and stop and a kind of strange one the way we saw last night back in your days?
I mean, not like this, to where, you know, you can't get water off the field. Obviously, they're going to have to do something about that. That was a lot of rain in a short period of time. But, you know, we had some standing water over the weekend. I guess it was Saturday's game, and it took them a while to get it off. And then, you know, they didn't go as far as they did last night. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of water and they had to get it off. But, you know, I've been part of games where you were in hour plus long delays where there was no rain. I've had postponements where there was no rain, you know. There's been some crazy rain games, but I don't know, that last night, that was a long time, especially when there was no rain. I mean, it didn't rain for 2 hours and we didn't play.
So when you're a starting pitcher and you're going through that, like Dylan Cease, he came out and was going to go if the game had resumed at 8:15, but it looked like it was going to be Woodford either way for the Pirates. What goes into that kind of decision-making, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time that we're, you know, in between pitches. You know, I think when they decided at 8:15, you know, that was only just, you know, a little more than an hour delay, and so he goes up there and gets loose, and you know, obviously there was a lack of communication there because he's on the mound throwing, getting ready to start at 8:15. Their guys are out there, and you know, we weren't ready to go for another hour and a half because of the standing water. And so there's no way you're going to go more than an hour and 15 or an hour and a half. I think between pitches, it's, you know, they're going to always side on, you know, the cautionary side, and they don't want to get anybody hurt. But, you know, it's a weird decision. You know, we've seen it before where, you know, if there's rain in the forecast, you'll push the start time back so you don't lose your starters. And obviously, they thought the rain was going to come later, so they decided to get it going. And then you end up having a bullpen game, and that Padres bullpen's really good. You know, some people might say, oh, you might want to get Cease out of there, but, you know, that bullpen's the best in baseball. I mean, they got some arms, and they got some numbers, and obviously we couldn't muster much off of them.
John, with Kiner Falefa being the player he is and being a player that brings a high level of production to the middle infield spot, and you saw him playing shortstop last night and he made a nice play at shortstop, could that legitimize the Pirates really exploring O'Neill Cruz in the outfield? And would you do that? Would you explore O'Neill Cruz in the outfield in the offseason?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, you got Ke'Bryan Hayes, Falefa, and Nick Gonzalez, and you know, there's times where O'Neill Cruz looks like a shortstop. He looks like a good major league shortstop, and there's times where he doesn't, and that's where you got to wonder as far as the consistency. Can he be more consistent? You know, I know everybody talks about 21 errors. I know, you know, there's times where, you know, his arm gets a little erratic, and I know there's been a couple of errors here recently in the last week or so where a pitcher didn't back up that cost him a couple of errors. But, yeah, there's times where he looks fluid and looks like a big league shortstop and times that he doesn't. And, you know, that's I guess, a question they're going to have to have and, you know, talk to him about and see if it's worth him going somewhere and play winter ball in the outfield. He's certainly a good enough athlete, and he's got to be on the field somewhere. The outfield would make sense. That'd be fun to watch him throw in from center field. To explore it, yeah, I wouldn't think that's a bad idea, especially because you got a bunch of infielders in the minor league system, too, that are, you know, they consider prospects. Some are, you know, a ways away. But, yeah, I mean, that would be fun as far as for that kind of talent to be out there and not have to worry about being involved as much as you do as a shortstop. I'm sure it'll be talked about. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know.
John Wehner with us here on the Fan Morning Show, and this might be a simple question, but you're the baseball guy, so it could yield a complicated answer. Pirates go up against a team that was in the World Series last year, and they wind up just winning 2 out of the 6 games. You're playing a San Diego team now that's got a ton of postseason experience. Are the Bucks simply a little ahead of schedule here and not ready for the big time?
I'm not sure of that. I mean, again, when you have the pitching staff that the Pirates have, you know, you're going to be in most games. It was a frustrating series. It's been a frustrating homestand so far. I mean, you're playing with these teams. And now, can you say that teams with that kind of experience, World Series experience, and teams with that kind of talent as the Padres have, they can hit too. I was talking about their bullpen, but they can hit. They find ways to win games. Arizona found ways to win games. The Pirates didn't. You know, in fact, you can argue that, you know, they had a couple leads late and, you know, found ways to lose games. And so you wonder if that's a lack of experience, a lack of execution. What is it? But the Diamondbacks certainly rose to the occasion, and they hit a couple pitches out of the ballpark to win games that most hitters don't hit out of the ballpark. You know, that what Bell and what Jock Peterson did was phenomenal. And you know, again, you got some experienced hitters that, you know, rise up in situations, and they certainly did in that series. And, you know, and last night, you know, I thought our defense let us down. I thought, you know, there was that four-run inning, there was a couple of balls that should have been caught. You know, I think if Ji-Won Bae comes in and stays on his feet, it's still first and third, two outs. They're not tagging there, and he catches that ball at least belt high. There was no reason to slide on that. And so, you know, you can't make those kind of mistakes. You got to, you know, when there's outs available, you got to take care of the outs. You can't give the Padres 4 or 5 outs.
No.
You know, you limit everybody to 3 outs. Play cleaner baseball. And, you know, and again, maybe that's lack of experience. Maybe it's because they haven't been in these situations before where you're in a pennant race or a chance for the postseason. But, you know, you obviously got to play cleaner baseball to beat these teams.
John, you know, you were prominently featured on Inside Pirates Baseball last night for a comeback you were a part of.
I did not.
Looks like you haven't aged a day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the body and the grays kind of dispute that, but.
All right, Rock. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully the Pirates can find a way to win a couple of ball games here before we talk again.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Again, it's a tough stretch. You're playing some good clubs. You know, like I said, these Padres, the Dodgers, and the Padres again. So they definitely got to keep the head above water.
No doubt. And then you got Seattle and a team that was in the world, so that won the World Series last. Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. Thank you, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
You too, John Wehner. That improbable comeback, the pitcher had a massive hit, and then Greg Brown was talking about it, the one that was on Inside Pirates Baseball last night. And Greg Brown went full on threw our guy Wehner under the bus. He said,
oh, really?
It was such an improbable, I can't remember the date of it, but it was such an improbable comeback because of the guys who really started it, and it was the pitcher getting a hit, and it was Wehner getting a hit. And then Wehner said he hurt his back. He had like four at-bats all season long, and he had two RBIs, which were from that game.
He's big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
All right, we got Doug Whaley in from 9 until 10. Mike Tomlin going to talk about the depth chart and about the preseason opener coming up at 9 o'clock, so we'll have those comments to react to. When we come back, another hypothetical Brandon Ayuk trade. And I wonder, Doran, if you'd be more interested in this or the James Daniels trade that we talked about earlier in the show. So I'll run it past you.
Okay.
When we come back. It is 8:44. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. 50-minute mark on a fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Doug Whaley with us from 9 until 10. He just popped into the studio, and he was at the Pirate game last night and stayed the whole time.
Good on Doug. Jeez.
And good on the Pirates. Anybody who stuck around got two tickets to another Monday through Thursday game.
That's awesome.
So that's a good move by the Buccos because the grounds crew couldn't get it done. I don't blame the grounds crew, I guess. Yeah. Sometimes Mother Nature happens. We had flash flood warnings all day. You know what you're supposed to do in a flash flood?
Hide in the basement?
No. Whoa, no.
Like a tornado?
No. Just get on the roof. Just get up to the highest floor.
So you're going to hide in the basement with a tornado, and then you're going to get on a roof.
For a flood, yeah.
For a flood.
But the problem is, what if you've got significant rains and the potential for a tornado?
Right.
Maybe you just hang out in your living room.
You would lose your mind.
At that point. I have lost my mind. By the way, this sucks, but we just talked to Wehner. Brian De La Cruz is 3-for-22 as a Pirate with a batting average of .136 and an OPS of .276. Is that depressing? Yes. You want to be even more depressed? Jazz Chisholm with the Yankees.
Oh, no.
7 games, 9 hits, 4 homers, 8 ribs, 2 stolen bases, 3 walks, a batting average of .300, and OPS over 1,000. You don't like it. And when your other trade deadline acquisition was up with first and second and nobody out, the manager took the bat out of his hands the other day. So the Pirates just can't have nice things. They
nope.
just can't.
Nope.
They, oh, look at this. They were active at the deadline. And we all said, good move, Ellie De La Cruz. Ah, Brian De La Cruz. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I think I should have got this guy. I like the move.
Yes.
But the early returns, no good. Are you ready for another hypothetical Steelers 49ers trade?
Give it to me.
Brandon Ayuk for a second round pick next year, a third round pick in 2026, and Calvin Austin. This was thrown out by FanDuel.
Yes.
I would do that in 8 seconds. Yeah, I don't know that the 49ers would, but if I don't have to give up two draft picks for next year's draft, oh, hell yeah.
Yes, definitely would do that all over it.
Yes, I would do that more than I would do the trade we talked about earlier, which was what, James Daniels and like a second or third round pick?
I would trade Calvin Austin regardless because he's going to get pushed down the depth chart so far, and he's such a unique player that, you know, I think Roman Wilson, you know, I think he can handle that role. So you figure if you get Ayuk, I'm trading Calvin Austin and putting him a part of a package regardless because you got Ayuk or and then Pickens, then you have Van Jefferson, then you have Roman Wilson, and then I would leave that fifth spot up to Quez Watkins or Scotty Miller.
I mean, I might even do, if they'd be interested, James Daniels, Calvin Austin, and a pick.
Yeah.
And I think
that's what it's going to be.
I think they might be interested now because Ricky Pearsall went down.
Yes, they're going to need. They want a receiver.
Yeah,
we know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they were going to take what, Kendrick Bourne?
Yeah.
You look at Kendrick Bourne's stats. His best year.
He's coming off ACL, I think, too.
Yes. And the best season he ever had, eerily similar to the best season that Van Jefferson has ever had,
mm-hmm.
where he topped out around 800 yards. He's obviously more of a proven commodity than a Calvin Austin III, but I don't think he's some great shakes. So I do wonder if you can lessen the draft compensation if you would include Calvin Austin in a deal. And with Ricky Pearsall being nicked up and a guy that they obviously have high hopes for, maybe something could be done there. We have the perfect guy to talk about all this with, and that is Doug Whaley, joining us in studio from 9 o'clock until 10. You got a question for Doug, you can text us or tweet us, or you can give us a call on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Right now, fan weather, it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 79.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.